Good morning. Sandy and I are delighted to be with you this morning. I congratulate you on getting to church on time. We'll see how you do in the spring when you lose an hour. We're in John chapter 6 this morning because there's something out of that I'd like to share with you. Verses 35 to 40. Set the stage here a little bit. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, John chapter 6. And, of course, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't have chapters and verses. So when they put these together, they decided to make this extra long chapter because they feel like everything fitted together in here. And it begins with Jesus after the hustle and bustle of what was going on in his ministry. In fact, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together, you learn that Jesus is so busy teaching and healing and casting out demons, it got to the point they couldn't eat because people were in the house and they were crowding around the house and looking in the windows and needing help. And in fact, one commentator said that for this year, this was the Northern Galilee, the Galilean campaign. Jesus went down to Jerusalem, and then he came back up to the north called Galilee. It was north of Jerusalem, a little more rural, small towns. And he ministered there for a year, teaching and healing and casting out demons. And he was very busy. And one commentator said that death ceased for that year in Galilee. Because anybody that was sick or hurt could go to Jesus, and he healed them. Think about that. No death for a year, and everything healed. And Jesus stayed very busy doing that. And then John was captured and put to death, and with all that hustle and bustle and that emotional, traumatic event, because some of his disciples were former disciples of John, the baptizer, they were in Capernaum, and they rode across the lake to where there were some grassy hills. And this was a retreat. It was a getaway time. But people were so enamored of Jesus, they got in boats and followed him. Thousands of them. They said there was about 5,000 men, so if you had wives and children, what, 10, 15,000 people or more? And they followed him there. And Jesus taught them on the side of that hill. And then he fed them with a few loaves and fishes. He multiplied the food so it fed thousands. And then they wanted to make him king because they liked free bread. You know, we're in election time. I've decided who I'm going to vote for. You want me to tell you? Would that be helpful to you? I haven't decided completely yet. I'm just going to hold out who's going to promise me the most stuff. I'm just waiting. Every time it gets better and better and better. So I'm just going to hold out. Well, that's what these people were doing. They were saying, we like this guy. He heals our sicknesses. He feeds us. We don't have to provide our own bread. And let's make him king. And so Jesus withdrew so that that wouldn't happen because that wasn't his plan. He sent his disciples back across the lake to Capernaum. And then he went out to pray. And in the middle of the night, he caught up with the boat by walking on water. So there's a miracle of multiplying food, and there's a miracle of walking on water. And then he got back to the other side, and then the people on the other side, they looked around and said, no, Jesus, he must have gone back to Capernaum. And then a bunch of boats showed up because they knew there's a bunch of people over there going to have to get back, so let's go over there and earn some money and bring them back. So they brought them all back. And so now they are meeting Jesus in this passage. And Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that whoever looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great ministry of teaching, healing, and casting out demons. The way you demonstrated your Father's concern for all these people. And we thank you also for his teaching here that he's the bread of life. We ask that you would open these words to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, first of all, there's something in here in this passage, John chapter 6, is very surprising. It's these words, verse 36, I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. And what's surprising is that is John, at the end of this letter, he says these words. He said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And he said, I selectively chose sayings and signs to help persuade you and convince you to decide that Jesus is the Son of God. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So he's saying, look at the evidence. Jesus said, look at the signs that I do. Look at the miracles that I do. Look at my teaching and decide for yourself if I have come from God or not. And the whole purpose of the Gospel of John is that people might believe. In fact, they said to Jesus, what is the work of God? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, if someone ever asks you, what is the work of God? What is the work of God? The work of God is to believe. We do many other things as Christians that as a result of our coming to God and having our lives changed, mercy ministries and witnessing ministries. But the work of God is that people might believe. Well, believe what? The one he has sent, Jesus. That's the purpose of this book. That was the purpose of his miracles and of his teaching. But he says here in verse 36, you have seen me, my miracles, and heard my sayings, and yet do not believe. Now that's rather surprising. The whole point of the miracles, the signs and the sayings, was that people might believe. The whole purpose of John writing this book is that people might believe. And what better representation, personification, presentation of these signs and sayings than Jesus himself? He said, do any of you condemn me of sin? Have you ever heard me say anything, do anything that breaks God's law? If so, speak up. People said, no one speaks like this man. He cast out demons, he fed, he healed, he raised the dead. And all of this is portrayed in front of these people. And yet, they do not believe. Now that's kind of surprising. I mean, what would it take? What would it take for someone to believe? If not Jesus, the Son of God, healing and feeding and walking on water and raising the dead and teaching graciously. I mean, Bill Bright, who's founded Campus Crusade for Christ, crew, Sandy and I served on their staff. And Dr. Bright would say, I'm convinced if someone just, any person, just understand the glories and the beauty and the claims and the offers of Jesus Christ, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's all it takes. But that's not what happened here. I mean, that's a little surprising, don't you think? In fact, it's a little discouraging. Because if Jesus couldn't convince people to believe, how then is there any hope for us? Sharing with our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. If Jesus couldn't convince them and the Gospel of John doesn't, how can we? So there has to be an explanation for this. And Jesus says this in the next verse 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus said in John 17, verse 5, in the high priestly prayer, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. When in Matthew, when Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. Well, why can't flesh and blood see signs and hear teaching and respond and believe? It takes the intervention of Almighty God, who created these worlds and sustains them. It takes His intervention to help a person believe. Well, what is the problem? And Scripture records what the problem is. The term it uses is hardness of heart. You remember Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not listen to what God was saying. Even his magician said to Pharaoh, after all these miracles, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen. Apparently, mankind's heart is so hardened that even these revelations cannot get through. In fact, this is what Zechariah said about those Old Testament people. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came for the Lord of hosts. In fact, when Jesus was healing people, and they condemned Him because He was healing on the Sabbath, He looked at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And here's where it goes from, you know, something surprising, something scary. Because Jesus said to His disciples, He said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? This was His disciples, the very ones that were following Him, and He's concerned that they might have hardened hearts. You see that? In fact, after He was resurrected, after He appeared to the 11 as they were reclining at tables, and He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw Him after He had risen and came and reported it. See, even His disciples had a hard heart and had unbelief and couldn't believe. So this thing about hardness of heart, unbelievers have it, so that even signs and sayings cannot penetrate, bounces off like a hard rock. And even we believers, like the disciples, we can get sometimes and we just don't believe. We don't believe the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Really? I don't believe that. That's why I don't put anything in the offering plate, because I've got to keep what I've got to make sure that I can meet my needs. You see? That's why an offering is not just supporting the church, it does that. It is primarily a declaration to the world and to myself. I trust God more than I trust me. And I'm just going to give a portion, 10%. But that's saying that I know everything I have comes from God, and I'm not going to depend on myself. I'm going to depend on God to supply my needs. So when you take up the offering, that is a declaration of independence from self and reliance on God. So sometimes when you find it hard to give or when you find it hard to trust, we have to ask ourselves, do we have unbelief? Do we have hardness of heart? That's the scary part. That's the one thing I would like to avoid in all my life, is a hard heart, so that the very words of Jesus and His miracles and His signs bounce off my heart and don't change my heart. Well, look, there's something surprising that even Jesus couldn't convert these people. In fact, Jesus had quite a ministry. He started out with 5,000, and by the end of the week, he was down to 12. It says over here, on hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is hard stuff. Who can accept it?" And they ceased following him. See, they went from questioning him in verse 28, and then they went to grumbling in verse 41, and then they went to arguing in page 52. That sounds like some churches I've been in. There were two ministers that passed on, and they went to the next life. And one minister said to the other minister, "Isn't heaven wonderful after being a pastor in a church all your life?" And the other said, pastor said, "This isn't heaven." Did you get it? Did you get it? Now that's one of those jokes, if you call it a joke. It's only a joke if you laugh, I guess. You can put it in your pocket and take it home, think about it later. You can just take it out and say, wonder what he meant. What he meant was that being a pastor in some church is so hard that hell feels like heaven when you get there. They began by questioning and then grumbling and then arguing. But here's the thing, down in verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling. So even his disciples were saying, this is hard stuff. We don't know if we like this. And then Jesus turns to them and says, you're not leaving, are you? And then Peter had his best moment or his worst, according to how you want to measure it. Simon said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We believe that you are the Holy One of God. See, that's the work of God that Jesus referred to back up there in verse 29. Believing is a work of God. Flesh and blood won't cut it. So Dr. Bright would say, if people understood, they would believe. But they can't understand because of hardness of heart and the darkness of mind. So then what do we do? And Bill Bright would say, you share the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. You share the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we're commanded to do, and then you leave the results to God. Why? Because we can't persuade, and even if we could persuade, they can't believe. Only a work of God can bring that about. And that's, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you didn't come to this knowledge through flesh and blood. My Father in heaven gave this to you. Now see, that's the stimulating, encouraging part. Because God does work in people's lives. You know how I know that? How do I know that? Because I'm standing here. Because my darkened mind, hard as flint heart, and chained will, my mind was enlightened, my heart was softened, and my will was freed. And flesh and blood didn't do that. God did that. But when did he do it? When someone shared with me the signs and sayings of Jesus. So it can work. So what is our job? Share the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God and trust God to work. Do you know why he does it that way? So he'll get the glory and not us. And not even the believer gets the glory. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The faith is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So there's a plan, a pattern here. But I want you to see, look at the encouraging words here, down at the last of the verse. He says, this is the Father's will, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes on Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. See, everyone is open to anyone and everyone. And He doesn't lose anybody. So even if I fall into some unbelief, or even if I have a hardness of heart, I'm not lost. Everyone that comes to Him believes Jesus will raise him up on the last day and lose none of them. That's the encouraging part. Well, then how do you go then from just saved to serving? From just existing as a Christian and being of no effectiveness, no usefulness, no impact? You know, what is it? There are two types of people in the church, pillars and caterpillars. Is what they said. Pillars and caterpillars. Well, what's the difference? Well, here's where it comes down to the heart. This was Peter's best line. You are the Son of God. But it's also his worst. I don't know how Peter said that, you know. It's like email or text. You can't see the face. You can't hear the tone of voice. Have you ever gotten in trouble because someone misinterpreted an email or a text and you meant it as a joke and they took it seriously and they got offended? Am I the only one that's ever happened to? And now we got emojis and emoticons, and I use them liberally. I just put a smile on there. Smile, I'm talking, I'm smiling. This text is a smile. This email is a smile. You know, don't take it that way. You see. So I don't know how Peter said this. But I tell you what, he spoke for all human beings when he said, where else are we going to go? If we looked, if there was another place that we could go to where we could have a relationship with God and get eternal life without accepting you as Savior and Lord and King of our lives, we would go. We're on the lookout. We're creating false religions at every turn. You have all sorts of choices. In fact, you can even be spiritual and not be religious. There you go. Served up, warm and hot, just for you. You can be spiritual without being Christian. See, we are working overtime to try to find some kind of idol. Anybody but Jesus, because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to serve Him is to kneel to Him. And that's why these people said, that's too hard. That's too hard. We'll take healing, we'll take food, but we're not going to take allegiance. We're not going to bend the knee. Rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. You know that line. So what makes some of the difference? If you turn back, Jesus said these words earlier in John chapter 5, verse 20. He said these outstanding words. The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. Now, this is someone who laid aside His glory and was born in a stable. This is someone who was born a Jew and had to live under Roman occupation and subjugation. This is someone who never had the opportunity to marry and have a family. This is someone who said, the foxes have holes, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. Because I'm doing God's will, and a home and family is not part of it. This is someone who said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, as he sweated drops of blood. This is someone who was separated from God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he says, the Father loves the Son. And he says, therefore, I do the will of my Father, and I say what He gives me to say. Because in spite of circumstances, I believe that He loves me. In spite of how His plan is going for my life, He loves me. And therefore, I know that all things are going to work together for good, for my benefit and His glory. And therefore, I give thanks in all these things. This is God's will, because He loves me. Now see, we practice projection. Nobody has a perfect family, and no one has a perfect father. Some are pretty good. Some are pretty bad. Some are not even present. They're absent. And so that harm and hurt, we take and we project to God. We find it very, very hard to believe that our Father loves us. And that's what keeps us from serving and giving and loving back, because we're not sure that we're loved. And these people that walked away from all the free food and the healing, they say, we're just not sure that You have our best in mind. We don't trust You, Jesus. And even Peter says, if there was someone else, that's where we go. But You are the Son of God. God has given us the grace to be convinced by the signs and the sayings. But Jesus wasn't finished with Peter. After the resurrection, He met them by the lake and He fed them some fish. And when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love Me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, You know I love You. He said, feed My lambs. And Jesus asked him a second time, do You truly love Me? Lord, You know I love You. Well, take care of My sheep. Third time, do You love Me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the third time. He said, You know everything. You know I love You. And He said, then feed My sheep. You can't serve unless you love. And you can't love unless you believe you are loved. And so Jesus says, I was in heaven, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I'm telling you what I've seen with my own eyes. God loves me. God loves you. And if I can say that, anybody can say that. Because I had to go through crucifixion. And because He loves me, I love Him back by doing what He says and saying what He's told me to say. That's why I'm here this morning on Kent Island. Because He loves me. And I'm enabled to love Him back and serve Him by feeding His sheep. Do you doubt God's love? Take it from Jesus. God loves you. Do you want to have a life of freedom from self and service? Love Him back. And then you'll be able to serve. See, it's just surprising people don't believe, but hard hearts can get in the way. But God can soften hard hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these words. But we thank You mostly that Jesus came, and in addition to words, He lived a life of being loved and loving back. Lord, would You give us the grace to escape hard, unbelieving hearts and believe in Your love for us and love You back so that we can then serve You. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.